Today is the Feast of All Saints. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of Apocalypse. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels who had it in their power to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed, out of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser, 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 sealed. After this, I saw a great multitude which no man can number, out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and with palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing round about the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen." Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. At that time, Jesus, seeing the crowds, went up the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men reproach you and persecute you and, speaking falsely, say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It has been since the beginning of mankind, beginning with Adam and Eve and the chosen people, but even ancient peoples and civilizations who did not follow the law of God. So they were not believers in the true God. So that was for about 4,000 years. It has always been a custom, practice, because it's part of being a human being, to ask favors from other people. Someone who is above you in society, or someone who's wealthier, or has influence, or a friend. Sometimes children will ask their older brother and sister to ask a favor to the parents, or friends or fellow workers ask each other to talk to the manager or the person in charge to get a favor. So it's just a common thing. And it's been elevated and perfected, of course, 2,000 years ago with the coming of Christ. And there's several stories, even in the Gospels, of the apostles themselves or their relatives or people that knew Christ who knew about his reputation as being a holy man or performing miracles, and they would ask others to intercede for them. The reason we say this is that is exactly what we do when we pray to the saints. So it is a human custom for 6,000 years, and it's a Catholic Christian custom for 2,000 years, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. So we have this beautiful feast, and it goes back to the early church because the Christians, over the first decades after our Lord ascended into heaven, many of them, in fact, so many, were martyrs, and they weren't allowed sometimes to bury them properly. And so the devout Christians would retrieve their bodies after being massacred or put to death in the arena by the enemies, and they would properly bury them. So they had great protection for, but also reverence for, the bodies of fellow Christians. That's why church condemns cremation. That's a pagan practice, cremation. Not that it is wrong in itself in times of war or when they cannot be properly buried, but the normal way to bury a person is putting their body into the ground. Catholics are forbidden to cremate because of it, the context in the early church and up to this day. Those who follow that and do that deny the resurrection of the body, and they deny the existence of the soul. So it's a scandal. But the Christians would have reverence for the bodies of the saints and their relics. And then they would have in local areas, in Palestine and in Europe, days when they would honor a few of the martyrs. Maybe their relics were discovered on a particular day. And St. Ephrem, in the 4th century, decided in his area, in the Middle East, to honor, have a common day to honor the saints, those holy people they knew about. And this is before canonizations, the formal process of declaring someone a saint. But it was Pope Boniface IV who consecrated the pagan temple of the Romans called the Pantheon. Pantheon, Pantheos, it comes from the Greek, but it means all the gods, all the pagan gods. So they built this, and I had the privilege of seeing it some decades ago in Rome, right in the middle of the city now. And it's about 2,000 years old, and it was built by those who know their ancient history, by Marcus Agrippa. And it was dedicated by Caesar Augustus when he defeated the famous Antony and Cleopatra, who wanted to take over Rome. So they, as you can see, these pagan people felt the need to honor what they believed, the gods, to honor some being above them. And so that's why he built this round structure with a dome and then a hole in the middle so it's not sealed against the elements. And Pope Boniface in the 7th century made it a Catholic church, converting a pagan temple. Instead of honoring false gods, it honors Our Lady Queen of Martyrs and Queen of All Saints. And so that's why we have, to this day, days honoring the saints, and it was Pope Gregory the VII, about 1,100 years ago, moved All Saints Day to November 1st. So what we're doing has been going on for over 1,000 years, November 1st. So we have on the calendar hundreds of saints listed, but there are countless other saints. In a book called the Martyrology, it's the Book of Martyrs, and that's just the generic term, but it's the martyrs of the saint and other saints who are honored different every day of the year, and it is read when the divine office is recited in common, the office of prime or the hour of prime. And so all these saints are listed. Hundreds and hundreds, several thousand are in the Martyrology. Well, we have 2,000 years of the Catholic Church's history, so there are millions of saints that are unknown. And today we honor them. The forgotten saints. So in this chapel, we have these plaques above the windows that were meant to be for the faithful, for all of you, a reminder of the qualities of being a saint, of what it takes to get to heaven. And so it was probably over 30 years ago, our Father Superior decided to put those out there. He had them custom made. And it's the opening words in Latin of the 8 Beatitudes. And why did he do that? Because it is a reminder, and going back all the way to what our Lord did when he gave the great Sermon on the Mount. And instead of the way we start our catechism with the very basics of the faith, our Lord began this sermon with the Beatitudes, the summit of perfection. So he mentions the blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are they who mourn. And going across the plaques in this chapel correspond to particular virtues. And we'll just list those virtues, because if we had more time in another context, any one of the priests here could give a whole conference just on the Beatitudes that are so important for two reasons. One, that is how our Lord began his sermon to the people. And then Holy Mother, the Church, has had this gospel of the 8 Beatitudes recited for over 1,000 years. But these virtues are poverty, not being attached to material things or to oneself, humility, detachment from earthly goods, meekness of heart, resignation and patience in sorrow, uprightness, hunger for justice, kindness and understanding towards one's neighbor, purity of mind and heart, peacefulness of spirit and the bearer of peace, fortitude and generosity, embracing all suffering and willing to endure injustice in the face of persecution. Those sum up the qualities of a saint. Then none of us here think we're saints. There are people who are very self-righteous. I'm sure you've met them, Catholic, non-Catholic, especially traditional Catholics. They are often known to be very self-righteous. They think, I stand up for truth. I attend the Latin Mass. I believe the true faith, and I'm not like these other people who go to the false masses or the new mass or Protestants. I'm not like them. I follow the commandments. I teach my children. I say the rosary every day, and I make sure my children say the rosary with me every day. And you see the huge hole in their lives because they're Pharisees. They don't think they're sinners. The more we receive from God, the more is expected of us. So when we think of this little chapel and the gifts we receive, spiritual gifts and the sacraments and being able to assist at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and to be given the gift of the true faith, but also the grace to persevere in believing it and practicing it, what should be in our hearts, in our souls, is thanks be to God. Thank you, Blessed Mother, because I cannot do any of this on my own. I would be one of the worst sinners in the world. I'd be in the gutter and on the road to hell if it weren't for the grace of God. We once knew a traditional Catholic family that lived in Michigan, probably about 20, 25 years ago. Several children, and one of the young men wanted to be a seminarian, so he came here. And he knew his Catholic faith, and he had a beautiful voice. So he learned how to sing the epistles, and we thought there was a great future for him. But there was a big problem, and the problem was his father, because parents don't realize the power they have over their children to keep them on the straight path to heaven, to encourage them in their vocations, if they have one, to the religious life or the priesthood, or to steer them away from God. And this seminarian decided to leave after, I think, less than a year. Left the faith, doesn't practice the Catholic faith. And all those children, as they turned 18, because he was the seminarian was one of the older children, they hated their family life and their father so much that when they would turn 18, they would leave home and leave the Catholic Church and the traditional Mass and live evil lives. Because the Catholic faith, instead of being fostered and taught by the parents to love the faith, instead of that, he shoved it down their throats, almost like a punishment. And it was a disaster, a complete disaster. The correct way is what our Lord did. He preaches, he invites people, he tells them to pray. He told the apostles, come follow me, come and see. And that is how the saints became saints. Now, you may not believe this, but all of the images of the saints that we have in this chapel, they're people just like the rest of us. All of you could leave this chapel, and if it was somehow in reality, all these persons came back and were here, they'd be just like the rest of us. Maybe as children or older people, young people, on the way, on the path to heaven, struggling just like we do. And we say that because we often look at the saints as they're depicted as on a pedestal, that they're so far above us and we could never be like that, and we lose courage and we become depressed because we keep making mistakes. It's hard for us to give up worldly attachments. We commit sins. We're dragged down by the world, by bad people. They were too. But what they did differently from us is they decided at one point to say, okay, enough is enough. Now's the time to put our hands at the plow and don't look back, and follow God, follow Jesus Christ, and be a real soldier of Christ. To deny ourselves, deny our pleasures, our preferences, deny ourselves, our opinions in front of others. Take the lower place. You have in the back of the chapel, you can see two very great sinners, maybe worse than any of us, who became two of the greatest saints in the history of the church. Saint Augustine, who was a slave of his passions. He committed for years mortal sins of impurity, was living with a woman and had a child out of wedlock, refused to be a Catholic, followed errors and false religions. You have in that corner, St. Mary Magdalene, as Father Simons reminded us, and he's devoted to her in a special way. I am too. Possessed of seven devils and was a prostitute, committed numerous sins of the flesh. Those are mortal sins. But she comes in contact with Jesus Christ and sees him and weeps profusely for her sins and is converted. And St. Augustine was converted. And we can do the same. Whatever is holding us back from heaven or from holiness or from being a saint, we can do the same. Deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus Christ. If there is something in our lives that's keeping us from being attached to God, we have to do exactly what our Lord said. Now, he used hyperbole. If your eye is an occasion of sin, pluck it out. It's better to enter heaven with one eye than to have both eyes and enter into hellfire. So if there is something that we see, sins of the flesh or evil things or heresies or whatever, but things we look at that are causing us to sin, get rid of them. Or if our hand or foot, something we buy or touch, or we walk someplace that's evil, get rid of it. If there's an evil place that you frequent, don't go there anymore. And I mean that literally. So if there is a place of work, a school, a college, especially, they are cesspools of evil, far worse than even a few years ago. Other churches, relatives, parties. Clubs. Anything that causes you, that tempts you to sin, you have a serious obligation to get rid of that. And if it's causing you to commit a mortal sin, do you know that you are forbidden to go to that place? Going there is a mortal sin. We have known so many teenagers, 16, 17, 18, from families that ask us, or their parents ask us, where should I go to school? What high school? What college? Well, you have to go to the public school. It's free, and that's all I have. Or I want to go to college. Beware. Be very, very careful. And the thing is, all of you here know more than even we do, because a lot of you are going to those places, or you're forced to. But be very careful, because most of those people, Catholics, non-Catholics, traditional Catholics, lose their souls after going to those places, or are in great, very, very great danger. And if you want to tell me otherwise, or tell any of the priests, but if you want to tell me, since I'm preaching this, call me. See me at the communion meal and tell me, no, Father, you're not correct. Where I go, it's totally safe. It's very conducive to holiness. The people are the best. So you tell me that, and I'll stand corrected. I have a feeling no one will dare tell us that. The very last thing is this. And we read this before, but we're going to read it one more time. By the second saint here, Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus. She says, O holy souls that now rejoice without fear of losing your joy and are forever absorbed in the praises of my God, happy indeed your lot. How right that you should employ yourselves ceaselessly in these praises, and how my soul envies you, free as you now are from the affliction caused by grievous offenses, which in these unhappy days are committed against my God. No longer do you behold all the ingratitude of men and the blindness of those, nor the multitude of souls being carried away by Satan. Now, she wrote this maybe in the 1880s, late 1890s, so maybe about 130 years ago. And she was a Carmelite nun in a convent, and that's what she knew was happening, and how far worse it is today. O blessed heavenly souls, help us in our misery and intercede for us with the divine mercy, so that we may be granted some part of your joy, and you may share with us some of that clear knowledge which is now yours. And you, O my God, make us understand what it is that you give to those who fight manfully through the dream of this miserable life. Help us, O loving souls, to understand what joy it gives you to behold the eternity of your bliss, and what delight to possess the certain knowledge that it will never end. O blessed souls, who knew so well how to profit by the gifts of God, and to purchase with this precious ransom so delectable and enduring a heritage, tell us how you won through him such an eternal blessing. Assist us, since you are so near the fountainhead. Draw water for those of us on earth who are perishing with thirst. O saints of heaven, I am the least of all creatures. I know my worthlessness, but I also know how noble and generous hearts love to do good. Therefore, O blessed inhabitants of the heavenly city, I entreat you to adopt me as your child. All the glory you may help me to acquire will be yours. Grant then to hear my prayer and obtain from me your love. Isn't that inspiring? So, the last thing we'll say is what we said yesterday as a reminder, and what we often say. Keep attached to your faith, to this Holy Mass, to frequently receive the sacrament of penance. That's why God created it, to take away the sins of his creatures, to give us mercy and strength on the road to heaven. And then, as the foretaste of heaven, receive the Holy Eucharist as often as possible. So if there's something, as we said earlier, that's keeping you from the Holy Eucharist, from receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ, you have to pluck it out. You have to cut it out. Because that's what the saints did. They would deny themselves. And that's how they got to heaven. And that's how all of us, God willing, will get to heaven. May God bless you. Padre Nata Mati Omnes Lekala, Deum de Deo Lumpa De Lumpa.